Hey guys, before we roll into this next episode, I wanted to thank you all for the kind words that you've left on social media and for all of you that you have subscribed and left reviews. Those reviews help me keep this podcast free. And Matthews, one of my sponsors, was gracious enough to give me a bow to give away to one of you fans that has subscribed and left a review. So if you'd like to win a brand new Halon 32 with a 6-inch brace height in a Sitka Elevated 2 camo, all you need to do is subscribe on iTunes and leave me a review, and you'll be entered to win. And I'll be giving away that bow the first week of June to one lucky winner. So thanks again, and enjoy the next episode.
Hi, and welcome to the Interviews with the Masters, brought to you by TheOutdoorInsiders.com, your number one spot for inside information and quality gear. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about archery and tuning. I have the Sportsman's News archery editor on the phone, Shane Tuning. We're going to talk about tuning bows and getting setups and stuff like that. So hope you'll enjoy it. And I just want to ask you guys out there, if you're enjoying the podcast, especially if you're listening on iTunes, to get out there and give us a review. Even if you're not enjoying us, let's hear what you got to say. I want to grow. I want to be able to give you guys what you want. So if there's something that you're not getting, let me know, and we'll try to get it done for you. But those reviews really help us out with our ratings and our rankings in iTunes. So if you could take care of that for me, that would be awesome. Shane, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. Can't complain. Just, enjoying the weather out here. It's nice and cool, but still sunny and, you know.
Probably a little warmer over there than here. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I just came from Utah. I was in Salt Lake City for the
expo.
For the expo, and it was pretty cold. Pretty much was like in the 40s most of the time that I was there, and it's like 65 degrees outside right now.
Here, I know. Nice outdoor shooting weather.
Yeah. I enjoy this time of year at least for a month or so, and then I start getting depressed and I can't wait till fall gets here. I hate summertime, and I own a pool construction company, and pool service. We do commercial swimming pools.
Gotcha.
That's my main bread and butter. But I'm busier that time of year, and it's great because I'm making more money, but at the same time, it makes me so depressed. I hate the summertime because all the headaches come that time of year, and running around with my hair on fire, and just, of course.
I can relate. I got a general contractor license, so I can relate to the summertime months, that's for sure.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, and we'll jump into some questions.
Okay, I'm a general contractor as well as writing for Sportsman's News publication. I'm the archery editor there. Obviously, construction is still my bread and butter as well, and enjoy archery quite a bit. I got into that about 1987, fairly later in life. I was in high school at the time, and that was probably about the first time I really got into archery, and I've been picking it up ever since, and just always that was back when I lived in California, lived in three different states, California, Colorado, and Utah. And mm-hmm. back in California, just getting into archery and going to the local shops and this and that. And, you know, just not really having really good arrow flight out of my bows and always being frustrated. And that's what led me to start basically doing all my own tuning and stuff and learning the hard way, just learning from the ground up and what makes each cam system tick. And mm-hmm. that's pretty much where I'm at today.
Cool. So, you know, at one point in your life, you actually owned an archery shop. You were doing some stuff. And
I did. Yep. I owned Accurate Archery in Cedar City, Utah. I owned that for a couple few years, and that was basically, I originally started that shop to, I wanted to initiate archery into the schools in our local area. And, you know, it's, we don't have long seasons out west. You don't have, you know, your average archery guy. He'll pick up a bow and maybe shoot it 3 or 4 months out of the year at best. And, but either way, I mean, I wanted the construction pretty much, I mean, carried the archery shop and got that going, and trying to get archery into the schools and start a program like that. And, you know, at first when all that happened and met with school districts and this and that, they pretty much shot me down on a good part of that. And I didn't want to keep on sinking money into the shop through my construction business. And so I ended up closing up the archery shop and then just doing everything out of my basement from that point on.
Right. So now, guys are sending you bows from all over the country because you're
yeah,
the man.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much, yeah, I got guys even from Hawaii, out of the country even, shipping bows for tuning and stuff like that. And I'm trying to, I'd like to actually push more into, I do a lot of, I don't know, tutorials and stuff like that, and DIY stuff. I'd like to get, you know, archery is sort of a niche, and guys like to try to do their own stuff themselves. And, you know, I've been through a lot of ups and downs over the years and starting learning, you know, from scratch. And it's nice some of the fast forward, per se, tuning methods that you can go about to get you where you need to be a lot faster than the long road that I took to get there.
Right.
So, and just sharing that information for others, you know, so they can be as accurate as they possibly can.
Now, do you have a YouTube channel or anything now?
I do, ShaneChunning@gmail.com. I have a website as well on target7.com.
Cool.
I'll have some stuff. I have stuff on there frequently. I try to post when I can and stuff and add to the blog and reviews and miscellaneous stuff.
Awesome. Well, I got some questions for you, and our questions generally come from the listeners and from people that are associated with me through my social network and so on and so forth. So, the hunting season, you know, basically just ended, and you know, like you said earlier, most guys will just pick up their bow, you know, a month or so, not even sometimes a week or two before a season.
Yeah,
and they'll start shooting. And they'll start, you know, here's my bow, fix it, I'm going hunting next week. But, you know, what should somebody be doing in the off season to prepare? And, you know, we work really hard as bow hunters to, you know, get that one shot opportunity. So you don't want to squander it. What are some of the things a guy could do or a girl can do to make sure he or she is at its best when that shot presents itself?
The biggest thing for me is just knowing your equipment in the off season. You know, if guys would just get up off their butt and learn that equipment, not just picking it up twice, you know, 2 months out of the year, you know, and they'll just be more efficient in the field. I mean, it's, you know, it's archery sort of a, it's one of those, say you can pick up a rifle out of the box and have no problem shooting 300, 400, or 500 yards. You know, where archery, there's more to it. You know, you have so many variables with your anchor point, your reference points, your grip is a direct correlation of lateral knock travel. So, I
right.
mean, your bow can be tuned perfect, and if you got too much torque to your grip one way or the other, that could pull a shot left or right. And it's just taking those steps to learning that equipment and not just, you know, and every bow's a little bit different. You know, there's tons of different, there's great bows out there on the market, lots of good, and you know, quality high-end bows and even the box store bows. And, I mean, they shoot really well, they tune really well, but we need to spend more time learning our equipment and what the bow likes and what it doesn't like.
Right.
And, I mean, I would say, I mean, one thing specific for me personally, is grip. I mean, grip is, it makes or breaks a shot. And then when you put a broadhead on there, and you got wind and this and that, that's just more planing involved. So if you have imperfections in your grip, you're going to pull that broadhead left or right, you know, and then that, and in return, that could be a wounded animal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I always tell people, I mean, it's all about repeatability.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Like, so for me, I personally don't have the greatest form in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my grip is not what you call a textbook grip, but I know that I can repeat it over and over and over and over again. So that
right.
I'm getting, you know, once I've, you know, sighted my bow in, it's sighted into that grip and that style of shooting, that it's going to perform the same way as, you know, I did when I sighted it in out there in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any like drills or anything like that that you would suggest that somebody can do to, okay, let's, well, I mean, we're talking about grip. Is there any drills for making sure that you have the proper form and, you know, the best possible grip for your situation?
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that first part. What'd you say?
Oh, I said, do you have any drills or anything that you would suggest that somebody?
Yeah, I
can
mean,
do?
I'm big into, I mean, bear shaft tuning. You know, once you actually, you know, a lot of guys will sit there and they'll say, well, why shoot an arrow that doesn't have fletchings on it? We don't hunt with those arrows,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, if you're looking to improve and you want accuracy to be your main goal, the less corrections that arrow has in flight, the more forgiving that arrow is going to be downrange to you. Whether you're sticking a broadhead on there, a field point, it doesn't matter. I mean, when you have basically less corrections in flight, then it's just going to be a more forgiving setup for you. And so, you know, I encourage guys to shoot bare shafts because bare shafts will tell you a lot about your tune and about your form in general. And you don't even have to start. I mean, you can start at 6 feet, you know, and just shoot into the target and pay attention to entry into the target. Is your arrow kicking left? Is it kicking right? Is the entry not true with a fletched arrow? A lot of those, I mean, there's lots of stuff, and we can go into great detail as far as the tuning part and,
mm-hmm.
you know, what it consists of, whether it's grip or if it's tune-related. But it definitely shows you a lot. And from there, you know, if you have some imperfections in that, then you can research those imperfections and make those better. And it just makes for a more accurate setup, you know, come hunting season. And that's our main goal, is basically not wounding animals and having ethical kills.
All right, so kind of walk me through a bear shaft session, because, you know, people, I think I hear myself, I hear it all the time, bear shaft tuning.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that I have any, you know, a full grasp on the concept of it. I mean, I got an idea. I've seen it done. I have never done it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I'm the guy that walks in the archery shop and goes, here, fix my bow.
yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, you don't want me working on your bow. I know enough to be dangerous. I know enough to be dangerous, but, you know, I could fix a loop in the field or a peep or something like that, but that's about it. That's where my expertise lies.
I mean, it's not. I mean, a lot of people are intimidated by it, but, I mean, I teach tons of people even on phone through text and emails and back and forth, and guys that haven't even been in archery that long, they'll pick up bear shaft tuning no problem at all. It's just being directed in the right way. And what bear shaft tuning is doing is basically it's fine-tuning your bow to have the least amount of vertical and lateral knock travel transferred to the arrow upon release.
Okay.
So, and so with that, depending on the cam system, you know, you have your cam timing. So
okay.
Basically from a vertical standpoint, you know, a misconception in archery is that your cams, depending, say if you're a hybrid cam, your cams need to hit at the same time at full draw. And that's a typical setup. You know, you guys will draw back or look in the mirror or whatever. You know, a lot of shops don't even have draw boards, but and they'll try to get the cams hitting at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine for some models, but there's a whole lot of models out there that will not have clean vertical knock travel with the cams hitting at the same time.
Right.
And the reason for that is you have your control cable and your bus cable. Both those cables are under different loads. And so what happens is if those hit at the same time and your control cable, your top cam hits your control cable and your bottom cam hits your bus cable, well, that control cable that has less of a load has more of a sponge with that pressure. And so if you actually preload that and have your top cam hitting first, it gives you a more harder back wall.
Okay.
And then also, so between cam sync and knock height, those two things, it's a small window, but between those two combination of things gives you clean vertical knock travel. And then on the lateral side, you know, grip is a huge part of that. You know, grip can have a huge impact on your lateral movement in that arrow in flight. And then cams with basically a split yoke harness, whether it's your Bowtech Overdrive binaries, your single cams with a split harness on top, your hybrids that have a split harness on top, anything that has a fixed split harness on top, you can control the lean of that top cam to fine-tune your lateral knock travel as well. So between rest movement from left to right to your yoke adjustments as far as your pre-lean into your top cam and your grip, those directly have an impact on lateral knock travel. Cams like Matthew, okay, you got your floating yokes like Matthews and so forth. You know, those have your top hat spacers in the bow itself. So those position your cams to align. So when those top hat spacers are correct and your center shot is correct with the right grip, that'll give you a clean vertical knock or lateral knock travel.
Okay.
So it sounds overwhelming, but there's
I glazed over about 5 minutes ago because I'm
the guys pick it up so fast. And when they do, it's amazing how forgiving your setup is.
Yeah. Well, let's switch gears here a little bit. Name three things that you see people do out on the range, like, you know, three common errors that hurt their shooting. And I could tell where you're going to go with number one, probably, since you said it.
No, let's see. I'd say the biggest thing you see is actually draw length wrong.
Okay.
Guys shooting with draw length at their ear or something, you know, way past their mouth and to their ear. You see that a lot. You see guys slapping the trigger, you know, very trigger happy, instead of pulling through the shot. You know, a lot of trigger punchers out there. I mean, which is fine, but it's very hard to be repeatable shot after shot when you release like that.
Right.
And then grip. You know, a lot of guys grip like a pistol, but you know your bow's not a pistol, and usually grip is an issue as well. I think those are probably the top three: draw length, punch on the trigger, and one's grip.
Cool. You know what? I'm going to interject something right there. So, guys, one thing to do at this check is see if you're torquing your bow. When you get to full draw, look up at your top cam and look at your string and see if it's tracking perfectly in the center of your cam. If you're torquing your bow one way or the other, you'll see that it won't be perfectly. And that's kind of one of the things that I like threw up, especially when I'm sighting in a bow. I do that constantly. And then by the end of the time I've done setting all my pins and getting set it in, then that my grip almost starts becoming automatic, and then I know that my pins are set perfect, you know, without having any torque.
issues wise.
Yeah,
there's a lot of bows that'll actually track really good and have good lateral knock travel and by looking at the cams coming off straight. But you know, there is a lot of bows out there, like your two-track binary bows, that it's the nature of the beast. I mean, your cams are going to lean regardless, but you can tune those to where they have minimal lean at full draw and more lean at brace, or you can tune those to have less lean at brace and more lean at full draw. But you can actually get equal results either way. It's just a matter of actually setting your center shot and cam configuration from left to right to accommodate that. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of bows, though. I mean, you could, you know, that'll actually tune really well with your cams tracking straight at full draw if you're looking at your cams.
Cool. What are some of the things, like, give me, like, maybe like a punch list, you know, of what a guy could be doing to check, you know, check their bow periodically through the season to make sure it is in tune as it was when they sat it in or, you know, first got it set up.
As, you know, that's the beauty of bare shaft tuning. I know a lot of people don't do it. And you don't have to. Not everybody has to. But for me personally, I always have a bare shaft with me.
Okay.
So just by the results in a bare shaft, whether it's tail high, tail low, it'll tell me exactly if I lost my knock height position or I lost my cam rotation. You know, if my cable stretched or my split yoke harness, you know, stretched or I lost something, my pre-lean, you know, a tail left or a tail right will show up. And so that's my way of doing it. I mean, I usually always have a bare shaft in my quiver. And, you know, that's a telltale sign for me once I shoot it and I know the reaction that it gives, you know, whether it's a clean reaction and I know everything's good or, you know, it's not the entry isn't clean. And then I can assess what it is and then make corrections accordingly.
So you bring a bear shaft with you, say like you're on a week hunt in the mountains and, you know, you guys have a target in camp or whatever. So that and you're just check it, you know, while you're up there or is this,
yep.
You know,
yep, okay. You bet. I mean, I usually always have one with me because, well, your bear shaft is going to be even more of an exaggeration than your broadhead. So instead of sitting there doling up broadheads and shooting broadheads into the target, I mean, once your bear shaft is flying true, your broadhead's going to follow suit. And so I just use that as a tool opposed to just, you know, going through a bunch of broadheads and doling up blades and changing out blades. And I just use that as my checking point.
10-4. Now, do you bear shaft tune with broadheads or just the field points?
Just field points.
Okay.
Yep. Just because, you know, if you're indoors and you have a controlled environment, that's one thing. And you can shoot, you know, a broadhead with a bear shaft. But, I mean, you put any wind or any crosswind or anything on that, and with that arrow not having any fletchings on it, it's obviously going to veer off course. And it'll give a false impression of what it's really doing tune wise.
Cool, makes sense. So I get this question all the time. You know, what bow should I buy? What arrow should I buy? You know, and it always comes down to budget. So obviously, everybody doesn't have an unlimited amount of funds to sink into a bow setup. You know, without giving me necessarily specific brands. Where should a hunter invest the bulk of his or her budget? Is it the bow? Is it the arrows? Is it the components?
For me personally, I would say it's a balance of arrows and I would say more components. Arrows might change bow to bow depending on what you end up using in the future. But I would say components as far as accessories, you know, if I look back when I first started, you know, I burned so much money in sights and trying to budget my money and spending the least amount of possible on a rest or a site just so I can, you know, get by, and then upgrading slowly. And I mean, mm-hmm. if I look back, I spent way more money on upgrading slowly than just biting the bullet to get quality accessories. I mean, I'd probably lean towards that. I mean, because a lot of even your box store brand bows, and I mean, tuned properly, they're going to be just as accurate as your pro series bows.
Yeah. Okay. So, not if in your opinion, not buying the most expensive bow is not necessarily the best. If you don't have unlimited funds, obviously.
Yeah. If you don't have the funds, I mean, I think, you know, buying a an average good good quality bow, mid-range price point. But, and if you have the choice, definitely spend the more money on accessories. Those accessories, you can always switch from bow to bow, once you actually upgrade. And some of those accessories will last you a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, that's all I got for you as far as archery, and tuning related questions. You got any cool hunts coming up this year that you know about already, or are you just still waiting to see what you draw? Or?
Well, through the Sportsman's News, I think our schedule doesn't come out till the end of February on all the hunts, but I think I got 3 or 4 hunts coming up for elk season and stuff like that, and deer season this year. We will be taking a trip to Texas here in March, end of March, on an Audad hunt. I'll probably be filming that hunt, though, so I won't be hunting that myself. But just quite a bit of stuff going on. So pretty booked schedule for this year for hunting. And then I'm sure my daughters will all draw tags, so I'm going to have to try to squeeze in all their tags as well and go hunting with them. So it should be a fun year.
Sweet. Sweet. What's your favorite thing to hunt?
If I was to pick one, it'd probably have to be elk. Elk in the rut.
Oh, yeah. Kind of hard to beat.
It's definitely hard to beat. It just gets your heart pounding. I mean, it's nothing like it. I remember the first time I went elk hunting, and I had a bull come in at about maybe 8 yards from me, and I could not take a shot. Just thick, dry timber. And, I mean, his breath was just all over me. And I just, that from that moment on, I was hooked for life.
That's awesome. What do you typically hunt elk? Do you get a Colorado or over a counter, or you just wait to draw tags?
I drew last year. I drew out on a Utah tag. I drew the Dutton unit. I burned, I think, I don't know, 8 or 9 points on that last year. So I got to wait my waiting, or as a resident, so I got to wait 5 years to put in for that. So I'll probably end up just doing archery mule deer here locally. And then I'll probably, just through the Sportsman's News, I'll probably be in Colorado, Oregon, and northern Utah as well hunting. So I'll have plenty of opportunities for hunting for sure.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, that's all I got for you, man. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge with us. I'm sure as time goes by and I accumulate some more questions, I'll probably get a bunch more questions about bear shaft tuning now that we put this out. We'll have you back on and pick your brain a little bit.
You bet. Anytime, man. Be glad to do it.
So before I let you go, where can our listeners find out more about you again?
You can look up ontarget7.com. You can email me through that, or just shaneshunning@gmail.com is the YouTube site, as well as my email address.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. Hope you have a good season.
Okay. Hey, you take care, John. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.